This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Kara Bishop. Kara is with Plains Cotton Growers. She'll join us in just a few moments. Well, last week, there was a House Ag Committee hearing on market concentration for cattle. And Donnie King, CEO of Tyson, said,
there are a number of things that if I could unpack that for you. From 2015 until the pandemic hit, in 2015, we were coming off the trough of the most recent bottom of the cycle, where herd liquidation and drought in 13 created that situation. So the supply of cattle were very tight. So you're starting to see herd rebuild, and you're starting to see capacity utilization go up in plants.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kara Bishop. Kara is Director of Communications and Public Affairs with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Kara, first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And for those who don't know about you and your background, how about your path from home, where you grew up, and how you ended up with Plains Cotton Growers?
Okay, sure. So I grew up in Dickens County. I lived in Afton, Texas, and went to Patton Springs ISD from kindergarten to 12th grade. And then I went to Texas Tech University and got my degree in agricultural communications. Worked for a trade publication for a while, doing some staff writing and reporting, and then I moved to Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and I was the managing editor of the alumni magazine there. So moved over here in January, and it's been a fun ride ever since.
Well, let's dive in pretty deep here, because when we talk about Dickens County, we're talking about an area that, well, historically has ranching, has livestock, but is for the most part a dry land county. There might be some irrigated acres there, but when you start looking at the lay of the land, for those who aren't familiar with the largest cotton growing patch in the U.S., there's irrigated and there's dry land. What are the percentages? Any ideas?
Yes, there's about 40% of cotton in the southern part of the High Plains that is dry land. Up in the northern panhandle in our same region, we represent a lot of counties up there in the northern panhandle, and 50% of that area is dry land. So that's what we're looking at in terms of dry land. The rest is irrigated.
And when we talk about cotton planting, we already know we're at the squaring stage of cotton in South Texas, and we're talking about the lower Rio Grande Valley area and then up through the Coastal Bend area. Planting has been happening through Central Texas, but we're not quite ready for planting on the southern High Plains, though planters have been rolling in the panhandle. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. The guys in the panhandle have a deadline of the end of May. They've got to get everything planted by the end of May, and so they're working hard to get ready to do that. I talked to a farmer up there in Spearman, Texas, just yesterday, and they've been watching the soil temperatures, and it looks like he's going to get ready to roll on Friday. So going to start trying to get everything in the ground. In the southern part of the High Plains, June 5th and June 20th are the deadlines, so not quite ready yet, just kind of in a wait-and-see period, see if we get some rain. Probably not, but just kind of a wait-and-see as we get ready to plant in June. So,
and then you have to factor in something, that has, I guess, most producers on the High Plains are very familiar with, and that's drought conditions. You know, I've heard it described as, from some, that this is the worst drought that they've ever seen in over 50 years. Is that something you're hearing as well?
Yes. You know, in the 1950s, they thought that was the worst drought they had ever seen, costliest and most devastating in 600 years. And then 2011 came around, and that's the driest year ever recorded at that time. And now we're here in 2022 and haven't had rain in roughly 200 days, any significant chance of rain anyway. And, you know, it's looking really dry. If you look at the U.S. drought monitor, we're in, you know, exceptional drought in most of the high plains right now. Whereas in 2011, we had severe drought, but we weren't quite in the exceptional range, the D4, the worst drought you can have. And so that's most of our area is exceptional drought now.
You know, recently I had the opportunity to fly and wasn't quite 10,000 feet over the Panhandle and South Plains, but you could hardly see the ground because of the dust that was in the air from all of the winds blowing and the dry conditions. And obviously the dirt flying in the air is one thing, but when we start looking at the soils, the drought really affects our soils in different ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have in the southern part of the High Plains, where we've got a lot of sandy soil, which is really susceptible to erosion. And that's when you see fields blowing. We have a lot of producers who work really hard to prevent that from happening. They leave their stalks up or they have cover crops. But even despite those cover crop initiatives, there's still quite a bit of dirt blowing right now. In the Panhandle area, it's more of a clay type soil. And so it's just hard as a rock, and, you know, equipment is getting worn down and torn up, and it's just really hard ground up there. Hard ground here too, but also a lot of dust blowing everywhere and trying to keep erosion from being too big of a problem, but it's getting pretty rough out there.
So we're talking about some challenges here, and there's another looming challenge, whether or not there's moisture to plant, whether we've got irrigation to sustain the crop once it's in the ground. There's another big challenge out there, and that's input prices. Are you watching that as well?
Yes, input prices are, you know, a really big factor in the producer's bottom line, obviously, and they've been going up for a while, but they're pretty high right now. And, you know, there are really high cotton prices right now too, which is really attractive. You want to get a crop in, you know, you want to make a crop this year. But those input prices are pretty staggering. So a lot of times your inputs are bought and administered throughout the growing season. So if you can't produce that crop with adequate water, then those staggering input prices are going to hurt. So the high cotton prices are nice, but if we can't get a crop, you know, the prices won't matter. So I think we're kind of in a rock and a hard place on that situation.
And we already know you've got to get the crop in the ground for that opportunity for Mother Nature to open up. And then especially for the dry land producers, they've got to get that crop in the ground, because even last year we were pretty dry coming into May, and then Mother mm-hmm. Nature gave us that rainfall. But as we start looking at a potential number of acres of cotton, have we been able to kind of pinpoint, does it look like maybe USDA numbers or National Cotton Council planting intentions from earlier this year, does it look like we're pretty close to that 12 million acres?
Yes, I believe we're still going to get very close to that. We're still going to plant. You know, it's good prices, and we're going to try to get a crop up, but got to get it in and see if it will come up, especially on dry land. So we haven't got as much planted right now in our area just because planting deadlines are a little later, but it looks like it's going to be very close to that. Everybody that I have talked to says they're going to plant it wherever they can drop seed. So that's pretty much what we're looking at.
And again, you mentioned 2011, driest year really on record at the time. And I think that was, a couple of billion dollars was the economic impact from that drought. Mm-hmm. Do we have any ideas kind of what we're looking at with, again, 12 million acres? Any projections? Anybody talking about the idea of maybe abandonment percentages this year yet?
I don't know if anybody's talking about it, but contextually, the USDA, they had 7.57 million planted cotton acres in Texas in 2011. So that 7.57 million planted cotton acres had a 55% abandonment rate, which added up to the loss of $2.2 billion for the cotton commodity. So right now, cotton prices are roughly 50 cents higher than the 91 cent price at that time in 2011. And planted acres are projected to be over 12 million. So I infer from that information that, assuming everything is as bad as it looks right now, that the losses will be greater.
And it's not just the High Plains. It's really the entire state. USDA has already designated primary disaster areas across the state. Nearly every county in Texas, I guess with the exception of about 50, have been claimed as primary disaster areas. Obviously, that's going to hit cotton production, right?
Yes, those numbers we just talked about were national numbers for sure. In Texas, out of the 202 Texas counties that have been designated as primary disaster areas, 35 of them are in our High Plains region. We represent 42 counties, so 35 of those counties are primary disaster areas now due to drought. They qualify by being drought severe, drought extreme, or drought exceptional for 8 or more consecutive weeks during the growing season. So it's there's some challenges on the horizon for sure.
And at this point, I guess we're somewhere around 80 to 90% of the state is in at least some type of drought at this point. So we're really going into May with some difficult situations, but I know Plains Cotton Growers is staying on top of stuff. If we want to keep up with what you're doing there, whether it's you or what's happening on the legislative side, how do we do that?
That's a great question. We have a new issue of Cotton News that lands every Friday in your email inbox. So if you visit plainscotton.org/subscribe, you can put in your email address and receive news from us weekly. We're also available on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn as Plains Cotton Growers. So we are there. We're getting our communications out, and we'd love for you to join our list.
Again, Kara Bishop is Director of Communications and Public Affairs with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kara Bishop, with Plains Cotton Growers. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Kara Bishop, Plains Cotton Growers. They're online, plainscotton.org.
You've been around the farming business for a while now, so you've got a pretty good idea of how hard most tractors work or don't work. And almost certainly you've heard of Fendt. From top to bottom, Fendt makes the most innovative, most cost-efficient tractors in the world. Like the Fendt 900, the ultimate row crop tractor. Isn't it time you discovered the difference between a good tractor and a great one? Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report.
The ongoing White House Rural Infrastructure Tour associated with the bipartisan infrastructure law has among its emphasis job creation associated with various projects. Yet Office of Personnel Management Director Kiran Ahuja says job creation will also take place within the federal government and therefore the need for qualified applicants to fill positions.
We need engineers. We need scientists. We need folks who are good with business, with numbers. We've got a lot of resources we need to push out the door to rural communities, so we need people who can work on grants administration, contracts administration.
With openings in the nation's capital and across the country, Deputy Secretary Jewel Bradah points out for USDA alone,
we are seeking 3,000 positions to be filled, and we cannot do this without OPM.
More information is available online at www.bil.usajobs.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.